Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself
and for those facing homelessness,
because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas, big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
Hey everyone, Michael Anthony here. Van Halen, Chickenfoot, Sammy in the Circle. But anyway, you're listening to the only podcast that is dedicated to breaking down the entire Van Halen catalog one track at a time. And the podcast will rock. Ow!
Hello, baby!
Hey, what's up, all you rockers, rockettes, and everything in between? Thank you for joining us for a new edition of And the Podcast Will Rock. And if you're new here, welcome. Let me tell you about what we do. We are the show that dives into the catalog and discography of one of the greatest rock and roll bands of all time, Van Halen. And we do it one track at a time. I am your co-host, Mark Kammeyer. With me, as always, Corey Morissette. What an entrance that was. How you doing, Corey?
I'm doing great, my friend. Looking forward to tonight, but I tell you, I figured I was going to be a little low energy tonight, so I wanted to bring in a ringer. We were just going to do the show, just you and I here tonight, but I thought, God, I need someone to kind of, you know, carry me. And he's been carrying me for quite a while on our new podcast, The Ultimate Catalog Clash. Let's bring him into the stream right now, Mr. Kevin Brown. How you doing, Mr. Brown?
Doing very well, mate. How are you?
Doing great. Thank you very much for coming on the show last minute. I think it was, what, 3 hours ago? I said, hey, you want to be on the show? He's like, yeah. Well, what did you say? Does a fat dog piss? And I said, yeah. I assume so.
Perhaps, yes.
I never understood that saying either. It's an old thing where I was like, okay, well, I'll use that because why not?
It must be an English thing. I've never heard that.
I was going to say, yeah. I was like, are you sure that's not an English thing? Because I don't know.
Yeah, it's like, you know, shit food and bad teeth. It's an English thing.
Your words, not ours, yeah, but we're not going to go against you. So, but welcome to the show. It's an honorary member of the panel, Kevin Brown, of course. I don't think a show goes by where your name doesn't get dropped at least three times. So Welcome aboard once again. Always happy to have you. Corey, a lot of interesting things happening in the world of Van Halen, it seems like. And by that, I just mean like we're reliving old times. We're seeing old footage. And what else has been going on? Can you give the people some Van Halen news context?
Absolutely. Well, first of all, and this is actually, I think Mr. Brewer posted this in our Discord first. He always likes to scoop everybody on the Van Halen news desk. Our good friends at the Tape Archives, who are doing that great documentary on 1984 in that era of Van Halen, posted a flashback to 1989 and an interview with Eddie Van Halen and Michael Anthony from OU812 era. So that's really interesting. Go check out the Tapes Archive YouTube channel for a ton of great content. But that especially was really cool. But the big news is just the holy grail of Van Halen footage, and that it's almost a complete set from the Van Halen Castle Donington 1984 show, the Monsters of Rock, where they played with AC/DC, pro shot from the side of the stage. People have been looking for this gig for forever, And all of a sudden, I don't even know who the original poster was because it's been taken down and put back up so many times in the last few days. But he didn't have the audio, but somebody actually took the time and synced it. There was some bootlegs going around of that gig, so they synced up the old bootleg with the video, and it just looks stunning. Kevin and I were watching a bit of it here before we hopped on the call here tonight. It's just, if you're like, Holy Grail, I think maybe even undersells it. This is, if you're a fan, you know, give us this pro shot completely cleaned up with real audio on a Blu-ray, and fuck, you'd make a mint. You'd be printing money. It'd be insane.
But oh, yeah.
Amongst Van Halen fans, this has been absolutely huge. And like I said, they keep taking it down. It keeps popping back up. I know Kevin, he's been watching it. What were your thoughts when you checked out this footage?
It's so much fun. It shows the band at the sort of peak madness, right? Like Dave's just giving it all the way. There's not really that much attention to what he's doing vocally, to be honest with you, but it doesn't matter because what he's just there for the show. But there's, you know, a few things get thrown at him, and Donington's not a place. They're not a forgiving crowd. That's a really weird, kind of mean crowd sometimes. I remember when a British spoof, like parody band called Bad News, played at Castle Donington once as part of the second part of this mockumentary thing. And they would get like, the lead singer and the guitarist, who's a very famous comedian, hadn't told the other guys that, yeah, they're probably going to chuck stuff at us. Didn't tell them it was actually going to be bottles of piss and sort of all this
sort of
stuff.
Oh, God.
So they just got drowned, yeah.
Fucking animals, yeah, man.
Great fun, man. I mean, it's so much fun to see that from the side of the stage and to get that different vantage point of the band.
Mm-hmm. Castle Donington's kind of legendary for shows. I know one of the best, I think, best live albums of all time, AC/DC Live, was recorded at Castle Donington back on the Razor's Edge tour. But, you know, this bill included Motley Crue, YNT, Accept, Gary Moore, Ozzy Osbourne, Van Halen, and then AC/DC.
Ooh, Accept. German extraordinaire.
That's right. Pretty damn good bill way back in 1984. But yeah, you see Van Halen at the height of their powers performing in front of 65,000 just sweaty, crazy heavy metal fans.
Yeah.
And it's just glorious. I would recommend everybody go to the Van Halen news desk, click on the link before it maybe goes away again. I think this is maybe the third time it's been uploaded, but whatever it is, the record company or whoever, someone from Van Halen's camp, they're quick to try and find it and get it taken down, but definitely worth the watch. It's absolutely phenomenal.
Well, there may or may not be a link in the Discord server that's
more
persistent. Yeah. It's not a YouTube link, so someone may have backed it up for posterity, you know.
Well, you got to be a patron then.
Got to be a patron, yeah. A little incentive to join the Patreon. We have it there. And while it's still up, as Corey said, click it, watch it, absorb it as much as you possibly can before it gets taken down. I am willing to bet there is somebody's sole job to take these things down. That's just what they do all day. They scour the internet, find footage people are uploading, and try to like take it down before they hit them with a copyright claim or something. I am determined. There's probably even a team of people that's just what they do all day long. And that sounds awful. But Tom Armbruster says that he's seen Accept live. Well, how's bragging camp going? I had a chance to go see them live just a few years ago, but I didn't go, one, because I forgot, and two, I was kind of unsure about how they would probably sound in today's era, but feel free to tell me how wrong I was for not seeing that show, if they still kick ass like they used to. So but listen to Accept, people. But this is not the Accept podcast whatsoever. So we're done with those guys. Anything else other than that? I mean, that's huge stuff in the Van Halen news kind of world. So sink your teeth in it. And unless there's anything more, what do you say we move on?
Absolutely. Of course, go get a copy of Mammoth 2. Fantastic record, doing very, very well, doing better in Canada than America. We have better taste in Canada, isn't that right, Kevin, than those damn Yankees? So
I'm not going to argue that.
And go pre-order your copy of the Collection 2, the Van Hagar collection of records that are coming out completely remastered. Actually, I was on the Van Halen store today, and I'm like, you know what? I have original pressings of the first six records. I don't have the remasters. Will my wife divorce me if I order both at the same time and get the 2015 remastered of the first six and the collection too. I'm still humming and hawing back and forth. Let me know
you
in the Discord.
Space that out. I would suggest spacing that out. Don't do it all.
Does anyone
once.
Have a couch I can sleep on if I go ahead and order both?
We do, but it'll take you a really long time to get here.
Spare bed in the back corner here, mate. Anytime.
Oh, there he is. There you go.
And you got an electric drum kit. I'm going to Kevin's place.
There we go.
Yep, there you go.
Josh said he met Wolf Hoffman at NAMM, so that's kind of cool.
Ooh, like the recent one? Recent NAMM? Because that
I'm
would
not
be
too
awesome.
Much NAMM, yeah.
But either way, it's... Oh, okay, so Tom saw them back in... He said 186, so I'm assuming 86.
I'm assuming
86, so... That, not to date you or date myself, but that predates me by a year, buddy. So, I don't know how you feel about that.
What?
You know, you keep calling him Tim. Yeah. He's allowed the odd spelling mistake on a
that's
on a chat.
That's true, yeah. I called him Tim just that the one show, and then I corrected myself, and I took it back.
By the way, Josh said he was at NAMM in 2013.
2013, okay, right on. Good stuff, but...
hey, Jeff, he's back. He didn't miss anything. No,
what
we're
up, Jeff?
Just yakking. Just yakking.
To the people not in the know, we always shout out the lurkers in the live chat when they come up and when we're doing our recording. So if you want to get involved with that and hear it at the same time, join the Patreon and you can be a lurker. So just throwing that. Tom's
ooh,
wife
like
says,
this.
If you want the thing, buy the thing. So hey, there you go. You want the thing?
I
Glory,
like Tom's wife.
Buy the
yeah,
thing.
I'm going to tell my wife, you know, like Tom's wife said, I should just buy the thing. So
there you go. Tom's wife.
Whatever
said,
Tom's
so.
Wife says goes. She's the boss.
But honey, Tom's wife said.
Peak
all right,
madness,
I'll go to
indeed.
Kevin's house.
Yeah. Well, Corey, I gotta say, I was eager, and but I was sort of kind of. Hesitant on how I would react about last week's poll, because last week we discussed the track that is our namesake. That's right, we went over "And the Cradle Will Rock," a mainstay, I would say, about Van, like in the Van Halen repertoire. I mean, you just it's one of the ones I certainly think about when I think about Van Halen in a short list. So I was very curious on how the voting would go for this poll, and I'm not going to say I'm disappointed. I am just still flabbergasted. I'll use the word flabbergasted because while the score is high, it should have been higher in my opinion. So the voting out of 140 votes, 94.3% What Dreams Are Made Of, a very respectable score. Great score. Only a 5.7% Dream Is Over. But my question to the 5.7 percenters is, who hurt you in this lifetime that you would just downvote that song? Or are you doing it just to expect a reaction like this out of me? Because you know, when my buttons be pushed, I react. And I'm sure people get a nice thrill out of that. But Corey, does this... Corey, Kevin, what do you make? What do you make of this score? Is it a respectable score, or are you just kind of like, I give up?
Again, I mean, I don't think any song's ever going to get 100 because you are going to get...
No, it's
people
not.
Probably do have the odd sort of legitimate reason why they just don't dig it for some reason. What's frustrating is when you don't get people saying why, right? Like,
yes.
I would love to know why you're downvoting this song. It's one of the songs that defines this band. You know, it's one of the songs you think of as when you think of Van Halen. And
yeah.
It's a great fucking tune. It swings hard. It's got a great guitar riff. It's got a great vocal. I love the lyric in this song, which I don't always with Dave. Everything about this song's great,
same.
So... God, I don't know, mate. I got nothing for you.
Of course.
What flabbergasts me is it's third highest on the record. Like, you're talking about like definitive Van Halen song. It got beat out by Romeo Delight and Take Your Whiskey Home, which was a staggering 98%, which is a great song, but I would rank Cradle of Rock higher.
I personally feel that it's, you know, the best song on the album, but that's just me. But still, like 98% for Take Your Whiskey Home, while Cradle of Rock doesn't even crack 95%. Like, I'm baffled. I'm flabbergasted. I'm all the adjectives that have to do with those words. So, but maybe, just maybe, we'll get some explanations. As you say, Kevin, that's the most frustrating part about this is vote the way you want to vote. It's cool, but I want to know why if it's a nay. Unless it's obvious, but if we're talking about a different song. But this song in particular, I really want to know. So going to the comments here, or the tweets, rather, on the poll, I'll read out the ones from our patrons, because that's what happens when you join the Patreon. You not only get to lurk on the show whilst we're recording, you get to have your tweet read out loud as we discuss the poll. So join the Patreon, please. First up, our buddy Sean McGinnity from the Sean Geek and Fast Forward podcast. He says, what's not to like? Honestly, again, Dave scores on the lyrical content. This song shows a lot of maturity for Van Halen, from the sound to the solo to the quiet parts. Enough said, you know? And he's not wrong. What's not to like? Our buddy Ryan Powell says the lone single from Women and Children First and The Cradle Will Rock represents Van Halen branching out from the first two albums with great success, bringing more depth while weaving an interesting tale. A ton of Eddie interjections only serve to elevate the whole for an easy What Dreams Are Made Of. Very eloquently put of Ryan to say, yeah, the song rocks. What's up? But we appreciate that. Jeff Brewer, Jeff lurking right now so he can elaborate further if he wants to. He says, it's scoring higher on the poll than I expected, but it deserves to be up there pretty high. You're right. Not a personal favorite of mine, but the song is way too good and way too iconic to downvote. Has to be What Dreams Are Made Of. I agree. It is too iconic. So just based on that alone, you would think that they automatically it would just shoot up right to, certainly, at least to tie it up with Take Your Whiskey Home, right? At least I would expect so. But then again, I have to temper my expectations because these polls drive me crazy sometimes. Scott Monroe says, my favorite rock and roll nursery rhyme. If it's not What Dreams Are Made Of to you, well, maybe you hit your head too hard when you fell out of the cradle. Hashtag rock on. I see what you did there. Good job there, Scott. Too long, didn't read. This song rocks. What's up? Yeah, exactly, Ryan. So that's for all the Gen Zers that are listening right now, if there are any. That's how it goes. Rava Flav says, total banger. It's definitely got a bit of a dark mood to it, and Mike's driving bass makes it moodier. This is the song that when my wife asks, what are you listening to? And I tell her about the podcast, she says, so I assume that their first episode was And the Cradle Will Rock? Well, you tell your wife, not quite. it was not.
It was show 93.
So. Yeah, show 93. It took a while. It took a while to get there, but we got there. Some jerk named Kevin says, brilliant opening track from my favorite Dave era album. So this one is your favorite Dave era.
Yeah, Women and Children is my favorite for sure. Yeah.
Well, there you go. So,
and Take Your Whiskey Home is one of the reasons, because that song is just an absolute killer. And I did wonder, because you did that song really quite early on, I think, if I remember rightly. And I don't know how
I just looked it up here. Okay. It was 33.
Relatively early.
So I wonder if the number of people voting in the poll sometimes can make a difference, right? So because if you've got, let's say you get like 60 people voting, you're not going to get as big a swing there if everyone's kind of voting one way, and you're not going to get as many of those people coming in trying to fuck up. Maybe Mariano and his cult had a day off that.
You know what I'm kind of seeing, kind of in and around Whiskey, though, is every Sammy track from around that time, high 60s, low 70s, every Dave track, 94, 98,
now people
84, 81, 91. I think we had more Dave fans voting back in those days.
Sounds like it seems to be the case here. So yeah, there you go. A lot of interesting factors, but still, my mind it be blown. Moving on, Brad Gould says, great song with a simple but driving rhythm section. I enjoy how the tempo and vibe of the song intensifies in the outro before the fade. The song just keeps driving. Of course it does. I mean, just listen. The opener is like the sound of a jet engine or a train or whatever. So yeah, it's just like a driving force all the way through. The only little respite is that little musical section in Have You Seen Junior's Grades? And then it just kicks right back into it. So yep, good call there. Jeff Brewer in the chat says, Whiskey is way better to me, but I still would have expected Cradle to score higher. Right? Indeed. Yeah. Just because of its iconic status alone, but maybe because it is an iconic song, and I'm sure some people would probably say it gets overplayed. It's the jump effect. people downvoted Jump, not because they hate the song, just because they're sick of it, because everybody knows Jump. So maybe that had something to do with it, but also, I don't know, you guys are crazy. Craig Zito says, this song stands tall in the catalog. It has a unique sound and killer groove. No argument there. Let's see here. Going forward here. Is that all the... Oh, and our latest patron there, Janice, says, never tire of this song. Short and simple. So, yeah, she's feeling it. Everybody's feeling it. There you go. That, I believe, is our patrons. We still had a lot more tweets, but I don't believe I saw anybody tweet about why they would vote down. So, again, we've got no answers. It's just, it's a mystery. So we'll chalk it all up to the Cult of Mariano. They are alive. They are among us. And here they are.
They're assholes. And Tom says, the problem with being a lurker is he comments in the chat and forgets to comment on the Twitter. So, Tom, if you got a comment about last week's song, please put it in the chat now, and Mark will read it in his dulcet tones for you.
You know, just a quick comment on And the Cradle Will Rock. The nursery rhyme, not the song. What kind of evil shit is that nursery rhyme? Rockabye baby on the treetop. Yep. First of all, why are you putting babies at the top of trees? That's a stupid idea.
That's a
when
bad
the
idea.
A cradle will rock. When the bow breaks, a cradle will fall, and dome will come, baby, cradle and all. Fucking what?
Yeah.
What are you talking
most
about?
Most nursery rhymes are some fresh hell. And Josh in the chat just reminded me, he did tweet our buddy Josh. He says, downvoters, may all of your endeavors and aspirations manifest themselves swimmingly. Hashtag Mercury retrograde. So you're not wrong. You know, we're trying to get out of that, but we're still in it. So maybe, yeah, I'm just going to assume just a lot of, you know, trolls in the dungeon. And they're just like, nah, fuck it. We'll just say no just because. But joke's on you. It still scored 94%. So still high. But did it need to be higher? Personally, I think so.
Was that a little and,
here we are.
Was that a little Harry Potter reference there, Mr. Kamaya, that I spotted?
I mean,
he's a pothead.
The trolls in the dungeon.
Well, I was a pothead. Sure. Let me put it this way: I was quite a fan until I had a disagreement with the creator,
the author. Yeah.
Yeah.
Now we finished off Women and Children first. Just going back to the Chazalytics, that is currently our fifth most popular record, or sorry, sixth. We have 1984 Van Halen, Fair Warning, Van Halen 2, and Women and Children First, fifth. 88.8% What Dreams Are Made Of, 11.2% This Dream Is Over. So pretty good ranking for Kevin's favorite record, Women and Children First. Fair Warning still at number three. Now, I just want to remind everybody, this Saturday night, 9 o'clock Eastern Time, we are doing our official Fair Warning ranking show. We have our ballots in from our patrons, including Kevin. I reached out to some special guests, including Steve Rosen, who wrote the book Tone Chaser. He's going to be on the show coming up pretty quick. Greg Renoff, Eric Senich. I tried guys like Jazz Obrecht, but he really didn't feel comfortable ranking anything. He's a very positive dude, and I totally get that. That was totally cool. But Kelsey sent in a ballot. Of course, Sean Geek, Fast Fret, all of our old buddies, the folks from the DLR cast all sent in ballots. Let's find our ultimate Fair Warning rankings. I can tell you right now, I've been inputting the votes in. What we're doing is, excuse me, whatever song you rank number one gets 9 votes. Whatever song you rank number two gets 8. And so on and so forth all the way down. So the 9th ranked song gets 1 vote. And then I tabulate them all up and we find out what our official ranking is. And I can tell you right now, the battle between 1 and 2 is fierce. It has been going back and forth every single day. I think the current lead for the number one song on Fair Warning is 3 votes. So I'm still waiting to get about 3 or 4 ballots in. So that could change again, but the battle between 1 and 2 and 8 and 9 is really, really tight.
Mm-hmm. And I did have inquiries about where to put into the your ranking. I say put it in the Discord, but if you're not part of the Discord and you still want to throw in a ranking, go ahead and slide into the Podcast Will Rock Twitter DM, and I'll see it, and we'll tally it up for you. Yep. So there you go.
Or podcastwillrock@gmail.com. People have been sending their rankings in that way. That works too. So you have until Friday, and then I'm going to compile them all. Then Saturday night we go live, and we're going to announce our official rankings. Then we're going to have our patrons on the call. Eric Senich is going to try and drop in as well, just to talk about the rankings. So that's going to be a lot of fun this Saturday night, 9 o'clock Eastern.
Yes, so if you're listening to the show as it drops, that's tomorrow night, which means if you're listening to this now and you still haven't got your ranks in, get it in before the end of this podcast. How about that? So they listen to the podcast, but also rank, and then send that over to either the Twitter DMs or podcastwillrock@gmail.com. There you go. We got it all straight up. You got your copy, Tom. Good job, Tone Chaser. I still need to kind of crack open that one and take a look because I'm about to be in Atlanta for a few days, so I'll have plenty of reading time. So there we go.
I am three chapters in, and it is phenomenal. Steve Rosen was a good friend of Eddie Van Halen for 26 years, and Eddie actually had tasked him with writing the official biography for Eddie Van Halen, and just through a bunch of different things, he goes over it in his introduction. It didn't quite happen when he was live, but after he passed on, he kind of went back through all the old interview tapes he did with everybody associated with Eddie and all the old phone calls he had with Eddie, and he compiled this book, and it's absolutely nice. Fantastic. Steve Rosen is going to be on the show end of September, so be on the lookout for that.
Hell yeah.
And yes, Jeff is trying to skew the results. He put Unchained ninth, not because he thinks it's a ninth-ranked song. He might. I'm assuming it's only because he's trying to rig the system as much as he can.
Trying to rig it. Yep. That is such a Mariano move.
Boo,
don't,
Jeff.
Don't fall for it. Don't do it.
How do you live with yourself? How do you live with yourself?
Unbelievable. Well, we get the polls out of the way, and now I think it's time to do our favorite thing of the show, and that's not spin the wheel just yet. It's instead, say it with me, take a drink, manifestations, everybody. We're going to manifest the song that we want the wheel to spin. Now, as Kevin pointed out before we went on air, the wheel's looking a bit thin lately, or in terms of we only have so many tracks left, and it's anybody's ball game. We still have so much from Balance to do. We still have a lot from the Fuck album. And hell, we've still got quite a bit from Van Halen 1. So it's anybody's guess at this point. But I'm going to ask Kevin first. What do you want to manifest for the show tonight?
Well, in the Discord, I'd manifested one thing.
I know what you said in the Discord, but
I'm going to go and change my mind. I'm calling an audible. That's a right football term, right, Corey? I think an audible is a thing? Okay.
Yeah.
I'm going to go Summer Nights.
Because
that's
Nights.
A song from 5150 that I just absolutely adore. It's got some great guitar playing on it. And it's one of those songs I think that if you were a Dave guy and you didn't love the new era, I think that's one you still got to listen to and think, well, Ed's killing this on this record. So, yeah. So Summer Nights, that's what I'm looking for.
Okay.
All right. Summer Nights. Corey, how about yourself?
Spanked.
Oh, I see what you're trying to do. But
let's do it. Kevin and honestly, Charles and Chaz, they both want spanked, so let's do it.
He wants spanked. Tom said he wanted House of Pain, and I believe, let's see, did somebody else say House of Pain as well? Nope, okay. Ryan Powell wants Can't Stop Loving You. We've had that one a couple of times, so it's time. Maybe it's time for a Sammy track. And I think that's all in the Discord. There we go. So, and hey, all you lurkers, if you didn't put it in the Discord, what do you want to manifest tonight? Or if you did put it in the Discord, go ahead and say it once again. Myself, personally, I think I'm going to manifest Top of the World. Because nice. I just really want more songs from the Fuck album to come to us. And come to us now. And maybe I just think that there's an imbalance of Sammy and Dave right now, and we need more Sammy. So, there you go. Top of the World. There you are.
That's a gooder. All righty. Are we ready to roll then? I'm going to shuffle this thing. Let's see. We got three current lurkers watching. We got Kevin. Let's do it four times, shall we?
Four times.
Two, three, four. All right.
Here we go.
Oh, we're going to go to Van Halen 2. Light up the sky.
So
I tell you, it's a Dave track, but I'm not mad.
No, not mad at it either, but oh, we were so close to Pound Cake.
And look at that. Top of the World was right there. Top of the World.
Son of a bitch. So close. That I don't know what it is. The wheel is determined. All right, you made the guess that it's going to be Van Halen 1 that we end the show with, like that album. I disagree. I think it's going to be the Fuck album.
Yeah.
Because we just keep missing it. Like every time, with the exception of Judgment Day? And I don't know. I don't think we've done another one since. But yeah, that's it. Seems
been a
like
while.
Yeah, the battle between the last two albums, I think, is going to come between Van Halen 1 and Lawful Carnal Knowledge, which is somewhat poetic because some people might say that's Sammy's best album with the band, and some would say it's Dave's best album with the band, Van Halen 1. I wouldn't argue. I would just have like certain thoughts about that. But nevertheless, we are not going to either one of those. We're going to Light Up the Sky, Van Halen 2. Corey is a big fan of this album. Kevin, yes, how do you feel about this album?
I'm going to get pilloried for this, I know. And I think I've said this on the Discord even, maybe, that Van Halen 1, Van Halen 2 are really sort of companion pieces because it's,
yes,
from what I understand, they're mainly a bunch of songs that they had coming into the recording process. I think all the strongest out of that set of songs really ended up on the first record. And I think the second album is just a bit weaker for it. I don't dislike it, but it's not my favorite Van Halen record.
Do you feel like...
I put it fifth out of the Dave era albums for me.
Ooh, okay, okay. You feel like maybe Van Halen 2...
I don't want to be wrong.
No. Corey and I have strong opinions on this album, but do you feel like maybe Van Halen 2 was sort of like an album of B-sides from Van Halen 1? Is that how you feel about it?
Kind of. I mean, I wouldn't necessarily go quite that far, maybe, and I'll get my bloody balls chopped off by the Van Halen lunatics, but... But if you look at the track list, I mean, Somebody Get Me a Doctor is one of my favorite Van Halen songs for sure. Mm-hmm. Dance the Night Away is the big middle finger to me, to anyone who says that they went pop when Sammy joined, because that's a pop song. And then outside Spanish Fly, so man, DOA is not bad. But there's nothing on there that really gets me, really, really gets me up. So, and again, that's just me. This is all subjective, right? So,
yeah.
No, you're just wrong. Like, it's not subjective at all. You're just a fucking idiot, and now I'm kind of regretting bringing you on the show.
Damn.
He's never got over Tony Banks thing. He's not getting past this Tony Banks thing on the podcast.
Nope,
this is the problem.
Not at all.
You downvoted 39, motherfucker, and you host a Queen podcast.
Sue me.
I wish I could. I looked into it. Apparently, I don't have a case.
And if you guys want more of that, check out the Seaside Pod review. That's what you need to check out.
The Ultimate Catalog Clash, too. Me and
then
Kevin
that one,
fighting about Genesis.
So
yes.
Just a few. Yeah, one more Kevin and Corey just butting heads. There you go. You got two shows to choose from. And then the occasional when and the podcast will rock. So that's interesting, though. But I will say there's I understand where Kevin's coming from in a way, because I've always thought, and I've mentioned this on the show to you before, I've always thought of Van Halen 1 and 2 as just one big album. So, you know, when you have an album that's however many tracks that is all together, yeah, not all of them are going to be winners, and you're going to find that probably half of it is stronger than the other half, or it's just kind of like a mixed match of them all. So I get it, but at the same time, I don't... Fifth place, come on, Kevin, it's fine. But well, I don't know, maybe we can sway you. Maybe the journey of this show can sway you a little bit.
Maybe tonight's the night, right?
Maybe tonight's the night. Maybe Light Up the Sky will be the divine intervention, if you will.
Well, I tell you what, I wish we hadn't have done DOA already, because if that song doesn't get your little British pale ass boogie in, nothing will.
Great song. I love DOA.
Oh, it's fantastic. But Light Up the Sky is interesting. You were talking about holdovers from Van Halen 1. This isn't one of them. Eddie wrote the riff right after the tour, the Van Halen 1 tour. Okay. And then they kind of did the rest in the studio. So this is one of the, if you will, this wasn't a holdover from the Van Halen 1 session. So.
This was something.
Oh, Jeff
fresh
agrees with you
new.
Too. What the hell? Everybody's turning on me and Mark.
Everyone, and Kevin. I know. It's like you've all turned against us. What the hell? We thought we were so good to you, but no. With the honeymoon phase is over. I get it.
Apparently.
Well, what do you say we light up this firecracker and light up the sky?
All right, let's do it. This is Light Up the Sky from Van Halen 2.
I mean, come on. Come on. That's a wonderful intro. That's a wonderful, like, rock and roll, like, check this out, motherfucker. And just, that's great. I'm sorry. I had to interject because, come on.
Kevin's got nothing, or he's...
I'm just letting Mark have, Mark have his moment in the song.
No, I'm good. I just had to mention a hell of an intro. That's all I had to say.
Hell of an intro, yeah. We'll be right back.
Does that riff not remind you of, oh man, what's the track off For an Awful? Judgment Day.
It's little
the
bit,
same
yeah.
kind of, the same rhythm, certainly. It's really close. It's almost like
there's
sort
a
of,
similar, yeah, kind of a, it's got a, vibe, a similar hey? Approach. Yeah, maybe subconsciously a little bit of Light Up the Sky kind of seeped into the writing process of Judgment Day. Maybe. Or, I don't know, just maybe, I mean, look, Eddie's a blues player, and a lot of times in blues music, well, in rock music in general, you're going to rehash a lot of familiar riffs just because there's a format, there's a formula and a structure. So yeah, that's not a huge shocker that you might hear one in another song.
Tom in the chat called out something I wanted to talk about, and that's this interplay between Mike and Eddie. There would be so much rancor between, you know, Eddie and Mike, and Eddie especially about Mike's playing. But man, it's that kind of jousting between the bass and the guitar that I love so
much.
Yeah,
it's so cool.
I just imagine the two of them just not even like checking out their fretboards or the bridges, like where they're picking. It's just like they're just looking at each other, just like dead eyed, and they're just like, who's gonna blink first, you or me? That's fun.
It's like, Eddie says Mike contributed nothing, but I mean.
That's just not true. Like, I mean,
I don't want to speak ill of the dead or call Eddie a liar, but it's like that's not true. That can't be true.
Like, sure, he didn't, you know, come to the group with any like songs or riffs or anything, but you got to think he had maybe we'll talk to Steve Rosen. I know Steve Rosen already in the three chapters I read talked about Eddie would complain quite a bit about Mike just showing up and getting a paycheck and doing his thing, but I would like to think he had some. Input you know into like this intro section of this song, just how he's playing the bass against the guitar.
And I'd say two things to that too. One is that regardless of how good a bass player Eddie Van Halen was, you know, because Eddie could have laid down all the bass tracks in the studio himself if he wanted to, really, and I'm sure it would have been great, but he doesn't play the same way that Michael Anthony does.
Nope.
So you get a different flavor, and it that's what Van Halen is all four of those guys together. And then the second thing is, I mean, come on, Mikey earns his paycheck every night on stage because that guy was just as much a showman as David Lee Roth was. It was amazing watching that guy live.
And, you know, talk about what he contributed nothing. It's like, no, he contributed these bass lines because, and we've heard what Eddie sounds like recording bass on an album. And, again, it doesn't sound anything like what Michael Anthony would have done. So, like, yeah, he's contributing his playability. He's contributing his ability to... do killer harmonies on top of that, you know. So what if he's not coming in with, hey, I wrote this thing, can we make something of it? Would, if you were in a band with the Van Halen brothers, would you do that? Would you have the balls to be like, hey guys, I wrote this, you think we could flesh this out? Like, no, because they'd be like, nah, we're good, we got it, because we're Van Halen.
Man, Elvis Presley only ever wrote two songs. No one gets on his case about it.
I'll get on his case about it. I would. Yeah, come after Elvis fans.
I think Mike even mentioned that in some interviews. Like, I'm in a band with a genius. Like, Dave Grohl talked about that when he was in Nirvana. Howard Stern kept needling him. Why didn't you give some of these songs, you know, offer them up to Nirvana? He said, are you going to present a song with fucking Kurt Cobain in your band? Like, no.
Why would
exactly.
you?
Exactly. Yeah. So, I mean, you know, people... Eddie could complain about Mikey about bringing nothing to the table all he wants, but it's like the truth is that he did, but he just didn't overstep where he felt he might be overstepping. So I don't know. I find that kind of commendable.
Do you guys know, because I mean, I don't, like, how much of that is overplayed too? Like, how much is that overragged? Oh, Eddie hated Mike, and is it, because it could be one of those things where he said something off the cuff once or twice and it's just been taken and blown up into this huge thing where really they might have just caught him in a bad moment or whatever it might have been, right? I don't know. Because he was in the band for a long time, so if he was that bad a bass player and Eddie had that much of a problem with him, he would have been gone way earlier, right?
There's two things that come to mind. One, he was always kind of resentful that it was him and Dave that did all the songwriting and stuff.
Right.
And obviously, Alex, you can kind of put in that same group with Mike, right? I don't think he contributed much to the songwriting, but obviously he's Eddie's brother. Eddie's not going to call him out. So there's always that kind of resentment on that because they had their... You know, in 1984, actually, they retroactively went back and said, you're not going to get any songwriting royalties for this album and going forward. But I also heard that after, like, Sammy split with Van Halen, Mike kind of went with him and kind of played with the Wobos and kind of did that kind of thing because Van Halen was kind of, you know, you know, kind of inactive at that point. And apparently that kind of hurt Eddie. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, Sammy left us and now Mike went with him. And I think that kind of added to the vitriol that Eddie kind of had for Mike, because he felt kind of abandoned by that.
Well, I mean, you can't be in this relationship forever if it feels like it's you're not it's supposed to be a give and take, and if you feel like you're taking more than you're giving, I mean, like, what did they expect him to do? It's like, hey, you don't contribute anything, and also you're getting no songwriting royalties, so meh, deuces. And then, you know, Sammy leaves, Mikey has a good rapport with him, and he just feels like, yeah, you know what, I think I want to try, you know, try something else, bye you guys. And like, and then you have the nerve to act surprised again. You know, not speaking ill of the dead, but you can't have been that upset that Mikey left, you know, given the circumstances. But,
well,
you know,
and Kevin and I talked about that in the latest Ultimate Catalog Clash. We talked about Genesis was doing everything individually, and then they kind of moved into more of a group songwriting, and everything was credited to the band. And that kind of fixed some problems within the band, and Queen did the same thing after A Kind of Magic. Their next albums were all credited to the band. Here's a situation where it kind of backfired. Also in Nirvana, actually, it happened this way too, where Kurt Cobain said, no, I think I want a bigger piece of the pie because I'm doing all the fucking work. And here, Eddie Van Halen kind of said the same thing. You know, Dave and I are doing all the work, and Alex, he put in there too. You know, we should give Mikey less. So that's not always the best way to go. Band dynamics are so weird, right? Like, you would think, because when you credit it separately, everybody's pissed off. Because, and the example I used was Roger Taylor, you know, demanding I'm in Love with My Car be the B-side to Bohemian Rhapsody so it sells as many units and he gets as much money. So there's that. And so Brian May and John Deacon are left out in the cold. But then you have a situation where when you have it all credited to the band, you think, oh, it's fair. We're going to split it four ways. We're Van Halen. This is great. We're all working hard. But then the two guys who are actually writing the song is like, wait a minute. Fuck that. Right. We're doing all the work. We want a bigger cut. So, God, it's so weird, band dynamics, I tell you.
Because it's all about ego. That's all it is.
And money, right?
I love that. You get more money, but
I love that line in the movie. That line in the movie Young Guns. We kind of just where I think Chavez looks over and says, ain't easy having pals.
Yeah.
So I think, okay, it's like family, right? And sometimes it's kind of tough. It's hard work, but.
Yep. But that it is what it is.
Things were pretty rosy when they were recording Van Halen 2. So let's get back to Light Up the Sky. Getting loud, bad fingers coming out of the gates, taking chances with a crash and burn. And it is a way of beauty, but you never get love. Cross the line with none return. All right, what do we think of that first verse, boys?
Love that last line, man. It's distinctly un-Van Halen. Like, it doesn't sound like Van Halen at all. It's got this. It's almost like a prog rock kind of thing. Maybe I'm just thinking of, you know, I'm in that vein now, but it's got a really different melodic line to it. It's very cool.
Yeah, it does and it doesn't. Yeah, I'm with you there. In a sense, it does, because, like, you listen to it and you go, like, yeah, there's that familiar Van Halen, like, harmony, you know, that cadence, if you will. But yeah, the way that last bit is structured, you're right. I noticed that too. I was like, oh, that's kind of a different, especially Van Halen 2 era. Like, that's very different from what they were doing.
And I believe that's all Dave. I don't think we get Mike and Eddie harmonies until the chorus.
Oh yeah,
interesting. Yeah. Maybe that's what it is then. That's one of the things that maybe kind of throws it a little bit. But it's just, again, it's not even the sonics of it. It's the They don't usually do it that way. That sounds more like Rush than it does Van Halen. Again, that's not a criticism. It's very, very cool. Yeah. It just doesn't sound like this era Van Halen's all.
Maybe it's because Mikey is pretty prominent so far from what we hear. Like, he's the bass is really high up there, and he is doing quite a bit. I was just like motioning, like pretending I was playing along with him, because he's galloping quite a bit for these for this riff. So maybe that, I can understand the Rush comparison for sure.
Do you guys pick up the bass on that section?
That whole rhythm section, as usual, man.
Oh, oh my God. Yeah.
It's crazy, man, how good they were. Really? Step wet trip here at God, the man we go. See the old folks
come up short with a pretty little kitchen didn't want it. Everybody's laughing. What did I miss?
No. I'm just going to say something. Then you start the song and I tried to back up.
There was a pause. I'm like, these assholes have nothing to say. They're ruining the show. I'm going to play the track. And then you start talking your fucking Mariano all over again.
Remember, it's the notes you don't play are just as important as the notes you play, Corey. This is a jazz. Everyone knows this. So.
Don't bring jazz onto my Van Halen show, you motherfucker.
This is rock and roll, not jazz.
That's right.
And this, so is musical this from what? Link. This is 78, 79? Is it 79, this record?
Van Halen 2 was released 1979, that's correct.
Yeah.
Sounds great, man. Like, the production sounds so good on this, and that's, you know, we talk about this lots as Van Halen fans, where, you know, 5150, OU812, and certainly OU812 just sonically doesn't have that same wallop, where this thing is just blows your face off how good it sounds.
Mm-hmm. And dare I say, maybe a little better than Van Halen 1? Like, production-wise?
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Wise?
Maybe. I'll have to go back and listen again, but
there's definitely like a there's a subtle difference, especially if you listen to them like one after the other, for sure. But I don't know. I'll have to do another analysis of that myself.
Mm-hmm.
Because this motherfucker is clean. Like, it sounds good.
Yeah, and it is.
I love the mix because you got that bass just kind of peaks out every once in a while, little higher notes, and then goes back down. And it just, it works so well.
Mm-hmm.
You got to be a real son of a bitch to say Van Halen 2 is better than, or worse than Van Halen 1. And
okay, look, I'll throw a back at you here, Corey. I'm not letting this lie. I will not be slighted like this, sir. I will take that challenge. Show me the I'm the One on Van Halen 2. Show me the Running with the Devil.
Really? Dance the Night Away. Somebody get me a doctor. Out of Love Again. Light Up the Sky. Spanish Fly is almost as good as Eruption. There I said.
Oh,
DOA. Beautiful Girls is a perfect album closer.
Yeah, I don't know. We'll get into it on the album wrap episode, hey?
That's right. We're going to do a ranking show on that one. So
that one's going to get heated. Yeah, there's a special preview for you guys. Whenever we finally get through Van Halen 2, it's going to be a showdown.
And to answer Tom's, is this the remaster? I don't believe it is. I think this is the 1979. So let's get back to her.
Great little push there, coming out of that little section, da 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 da, and just that little half step stop. That's tasty, man. I love that.
Oh yeah. And you know, when Dave vocally speaking, when Dave did that howl, when he was able to do that howling sort of scream, scream singing, you know what I'm talking about. He really made it work, and I have no idea how he's able to like be intelligible with his words when he's doing that, because like speaking as someone who's who screams quite often, there are going to be times where like I don't know what the hell Mark's saying. He's just screaming up there. It's like, well, yeah, because screaming's hard to enunciate. But for that, when he's just I believe what was the line he used right there? They're lighting up the skies, and he's like, I can't get that high right now. But yeah, you know what I mean. Just like it's very clear, and it's just very. It's impressive. That's what I'm trying to say here. It's like it's extremely impressive, and Dave was very, very good at it in his prime.
It's almost you couldn't almost can't call it screaming either, though, right? Because it's
no, it's not screaming.
It's almost like a squeal. Almost, it's got that weird. And no one else does it either. I've never heard another rock vocalist who uses that kind of phrasing. So it's very distinctive and it's very uniquely Dave, right?
Well, and right at the high end, like it's always at the end of the, like he'll sing it and then right at the end just throw in that squeal.
That's
very, that makes him the 20th greatest rock and roll singer of all time. And I'm glad Jeff Brewer agrees with him. He says, none of those songs are I'm the One because all these songs are better. So thank you, Jeff, for agreeing with me that every song on Van Halen 2 is better than I'm the One. Kind of a controversial opinion, Jeff, but I agree with you. It's funny. This doesn't have the, kind of the more commercial aspect to it that Van Halen 1 did, right? And I actually found a quote from Eddie Van Halen about this track where he talked about that. He said, quote, I wrote the music for that song right after our first record was recorded. I used to play it for the guys and they'd go, oh, Eddie's got a new riff. Nobody really said anything. And then when we came back off the tour, we played all our new riffs and songs for Ted, and he really liked that one. And I was totally surprised because it's a little more progressive. The changes are a little more bent than the commercial stuff. Oh, so I was happy that he liked it. It worked out to be a good one.
It's also, it's not rock. It's not rock and roll Van Halen. This is the foot more firmly in the heavy metal side, as I always think of it too, because it's got more of a, not chugga chugga almost, but it's got a bit more weight to it and a bit more heaviness to it. We don't always
it's got
get that.
That
right?
It's got that thrashy sort of like tempo.
And it, yeah, sort it's straight. Feel. There's no swing in it. It's not, you know, it's got,
Yep, absolutely. Maybe that's why I gravitate more to two. And I'm just bugging Jeff. Not that I'm trashing I'm the One or One at all. One is the greatest debut album of all time. I'm going to put it even ahead of Guns N' Roses Appetite for Destruction. But I just personally tend to favor Van Halen 2 just a tad bit more.
So what you're saying is you're a basic bitch. That's what we're hearing here? Is that
That's exactly what I'm saying. What does basic bitch mean to you, you pompous British motherfucker?
I don't know. I've just heard it. I've heard it. I know it's a thing. I know it's a thing. So I thought I'd wheel it out and see what happened.
Oh, oh!
Why don't you get yourself some tea and crumpets and shut your pie hole?
I actually won't recognize them anymore. Ooh, mama, see the firelight.
Ah, oh, you would stop it right there.
Well, Kevin told me Kevin's muted, Kevin. So I'm gonna call him all sorts of names until he unmutes. Stupid British tea and crumpet eating motherfucker.
Damn it!
There you go.
Came in on damn it.
What I was saying was that bridge is phenomenal, and this is what I think. You know, when I think about the discussion between Dave Ira and Sam Ira, and one of the things is. The criticisms I've heard is that they were just a little bit straighter musically in the Sammy era, and they didn't do this kind of thing as often, definitely, where in this era of Van Halen, you never really knew where they were going to go. You never knew what Eddie was going to do, what direction he was going to take it. And again, you're not expecting this here because it's a really heavy song, and then you get this bright major key, twangier kind of, it's just so cool. It's just a great little bit of relief in the middle of this song.
Well, they had the benefit of this is Van Halen 2, so this is very early in their like professional career. So yeah, of course, like if you're just tuning in to Van Halen right after Van Halen 1, you're like, wonder what they're gonna do next. Yeah, of course, everyone's you never know. Like it's a free for all. Whereas you move on over to you know the Sammy era, you've got a bit of an idea of what Van Halen's gonna sound like with Sammy, and then of course they either exceed expectations or lower it, depending on who you ask. But whatever, that's a whole conversation. But yeah, to your point, completely unexpected of that era, and just it really gives an early insight to their dynamics and mm-hmm. how how they function as a band and where they can go. Yeah.
A little more adventurous maybe in the Dave era. And Tom points out that this breakdown was so smooth and jazzy, and you wouldn't get that necessarily in the Sammy era. Maybe that's why more people gravitate to that. And this is not one of the holdovers from Van Halen 1. This came, you know, he said he recorded the riff right after they recorded the first record, and then the rest of the song that they kind of put together in the studio. So they've matured quite a bit. Remember, at this point, you know, they've been living with the Van Halen 1 songs for quite a while, from like the Backyard Party days to Gazzara's and, you know, the whiskey and all that stuff on the strip. So they've been playing that stuff for quite a long time. So, you know, this is kind of shows you the direction they're going to go, and maybe Fair Warning, Women and Children, that kind of thing, which I think is really cool.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, and Jeff says this breakdown is the only good part of that whole subpar album. Well, no, I'm going to get rid of that comment.
Wow.
I
think he's just trying to drop a grenade because he's.
I think
so. Chaos.
This is the same guy who put Unchained 9th. So yeah, take that with a grain of salt.
Oh shit!
We're on to you, Brewer.
Is this the horse my wagon is hitched to? This is not good.
Yeah. So you think about that, Kevin.
All right, let's keep her going. Jesus,
my
Christ.
God!
And I'm glad Jeff had to say,
clarify.
Kidding. Some of my favorite songs are on there, because if you call that fucking solo subpar, my God, that was fantastic.
You can see why people like other guitarists didn't necessarily love Eddie, because when he came out, he just changed the game so much. No one else can play that. Richie Blackmore from Deep Purple, who was a shredder and a brilliantly inventive guitar. Blackmore can't play that, you know. And it's just. One thing with Eddie is it just always seems like it's totally effortless. He doesn't have to try. It just drips out of him, and it's just like, wow, wow. And then you get that we're coming out of that, and we're getting that drum fill, or that little drum pattern that Alex is playing. Like, holy Jesus Christ.
I love it when he does that. It's like, okay, Eddie's, you know, face-melting solo. I got to throw a little shit in here to people so people know that I'm still around, too.
Hey, I'm still here. I'm still existing. Yeah. You know, it's like... I'm also a Van Halen.
Yeah.
But the bass lead into that was fucking great, too. Like, the whole band is cooking on this track.
It's cooks, man. Like, it's great song, so far, so good. And, you know, not to tip my hand, but it's like the song is cooking so far, and, you know, we're almost done with it.
Yeah. Oh, good. Jeff agrees. That solo is not subpar. Thank you very much.
No,
yeah. I totally agree
not.
With you on that one. Yeah. All right. Let's keep going. All right, Kevin's got a drum boner, I can tell. And I'm
Jesus.
So glad you're on the call now for this song because of that section. Yeah. Isn't that something?
God, oh, my God. And the production on that, it's kind of got that big Bonham tone to it, right? Where it's just epic, massive, massive drums. And it's saturated in reverb. You know, it's a really great sort of, and obviously it'll be room, but it'll be also a ton of reverb added on afterwards. But it just sounds very, very good. And it's played. Really, really well. And don't forget, this is from a very average, very mediocre drummer.
That's right.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. Probably wouldn't even make the top 50 rock drummers of all time.
Yeah.
My God.
Jesus.
No, but Meg White will.
Yeah, but Meg. Ooh. Don't get me started. Don't go.
Lars Ulrich, number 2.
He'll be,
Alex
he'll be number
Van Halen, 53.
Okay, it's nice. Been nice talking. I'll see you later.
Yeah, Jesus.
If I was running for Billboard, that would be the rankings, I'm sure. Because, my God. Oh my God, and then when you got down to the bass drum on the oh my God, it was and that's when Kevin leaned back in his chair and went mind blown because
So with this section coming out of here, was that a fade in? Because we kind of stopped it a little bit. I don't know if you dial it back a few seconds. I think there's a fade in from something.
A little bit
for
a little
coming
bit.
In. Right?
I think
like
from Eddie coming in.
Yeah.
I think it sounds like a fade. I think he fades in. Because I don't know, maybe they felt like the transition wasn't as smooth with him just coming in on for what he's doing, or maybe that was just the conscious decision from the beginning. I don't know, but
it just works.
Yeah,
the drums are coming down at the same time, right? So I backed it up a few seconds. We'll see if we can catch it.
And just
Sorry,
Corey. Like, I'd be curious to see, because they do fade this section. Obviously, you can't do that live. I'd be sort of interested to see how they come, what that transition sounds like live, because I've never heard this one live. So,
I wonder if they've ever played it live. Maybe we'll find out later in the podcast.
Oh, they fucking better have.
I mean, if we have to.
Motherfucker, light up the sky. Jesus.
Yeah.
What a fucking ending that is.
So Jeff Brewer in the chat says, Amy just be rolling up his volume on his guitar. So that could be.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah, you kind of got Alex. He's playing a little lower, and then he does that little tom roll that got me all Twitter-pated there. And then, he could just be dialing up the volume on his guitar, so that's a good call. Tom says, I've never read the lyrics, so I always thought they were singing Be There or Be High.
I could hear that too. If it makes you feel any better, I wasn't quite sure what they were singing either, so I had to like check the lyric sheet real quick. I was like, lighting up the sky. Gotcha. Yeah, of course they are. But
well, I think you guys have talked to this before, though. With some of these Van Halen songs, the words don't really always matter that much. It's about the cadence and whether it adds to the melody and everything else. Where he's hitting all the consonants, the hard plosives are in the right spots. So, whatever the vowels are,
the words only seem to matter in Van Halen when Sammy Hagar sings, apparently,
yes,
according
sir.
To because well, everyone just gives Dave a pass no matter what he sings about.
Because there is a difference, right? Dave is more abstract. Blows at my door, wised up quick, turned here and gone from on the go. Seems the old folks that come up short were the pretty little kids who didn't want it. No, that's a little more abstract, but it sounds cool. As opposed to, she put the cream in my coffee every single morning.
It's always that one example. It's always that one.
Yeah, fucking Betty Boop. Betty Boop.
Do you want me to go to the Spanked lyrics? I could do that for you.
Save that for when we actually spin it, because that's going
to
be good.
Hey, I'm all feed up watching TV, someplace to feast my eyes. Oh, well, I've always tripped on commercials. Yeah. This one blew my mind. Hey. Hey, tell me, who you going to call when you need that affection?
Ghostbusters.
Nope. Okay, all you bad boys, call her up on the Spank line.
I'm going to go into the Jump lyrics real quick. I'm going to go into some of these other, freaking. Dave lyrics, especially that 2012 album. Yeah, it's like, but it's always breakfast has to be that that reference. Yeah,
fine. I'll
Van
go to
Halen motto, the words don't matter. That's true.
There is a ton of Sammy lyrics that are questionable, shall we say, and a lot of really good ones too. I gotta give him his props. There's a ton of really good ones. But
look, I've conceded. I have conceded stinkers. when Sammy is at the ones that we've been over, at least the stinkers, of course. And I'm not here to defend Up for Breakfast. I'm just simply saying, come on, use a different reference. It can't be just that one or that two now.
Spank.
But I know you're a reference bank, so cannot wait for that live show. But we got to talk about this. We just finished Light Up the Sky, so it comes down to. What did we actually think? Do we feel that it was what dreams are made of, or is the dream over? Hey, Kevin Brown, we're starting with you because you're the guest / honorary member. So you are the one who is not so keen, not so high on Van Halen 2. So you are going to be the X factor in all this. So my question to you, you know how the show works. Is Light Up the Sky what dreams are made of, or is the dream over?
Yeah, I mean, come on, seriously. Anyone who downvotes this again, you just give your head a shake. It's, what is it, 3.5 minutes? Something around there, probably?
312.
Get in, get out, smash him in the face, beat him over the head with rock and roll power, and then get out again. It's just, I quite like the lyrics in this one, too. They are abstract. They don't actually probably mean very much. But Dave's, and I've been hard on Dave as a singer, we've talked about this. You guys have brought me around to the Dave camp, and he delivers the shit out of this. Sings it great. Musically, interesting. It changes direction. You've got some stuff in there. We've got a drum break, which I don't know if we've had up to this point in a Van Halen song. Like a protracted drum break like that.
Fucking not one like that, I don't think.
Bass melting like solo. Mm. Great bass, like different harmonies. Yeah, this is a stone cold winner for me. Easy.
There you go. Corey, I think you and I are just going to vote at the same time because I'm pretty sure I know your vote. So shall we? 3, 2, 1.
All right.
And just for the listeners there, people, you know, Mark actually downvoted that, but Corey overrided it. So, you know, this is the bullshit that you have to put up with.
Hey, we're on YouTube now, so the folks on YouTube can see for sure. All I know is only time will tell if we stand the test of time. Great lyric from word poet Samuel Hagar.
They've turned you over to their side. I can't believe it.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
I love Van Halen, too. I love this track. After I was ragging on jazz music for a while there, this is kind of a jazz song. It kind of goes in a few different directions, right? For a rock band, this has kind of got a jazzy feel. Tom pointed that out in the chat, and I thought that was very apropos. Love this tune. Band is fucking cooking. Bass is great. Guitar is unreal. That drum section, as a fan of drums and someone who wishes he was a drummer, love that. Even that little tom roll as he's kind of fading down and kind of playing a little lighter before the guitar kicks back in. It was just added perfectly in there. And I know Kevin agrees.
100%.
Great, great tune from a great, great album. Not my favorite on Van Halen 2, but definitely, absolutely what dreams are made of. Mark, Jeff says the things I hate most about Sammer is phlegm hacks when he enters on some songs. That's a good call.
Damn, mate.
Didn't even make the list, Mark Kammeyer. Didn't even make the list of top vocalists of all time.
Of course not.
Mick Jagger is a better vocalist than Sammy Hagar, Mark. But, you know, we all knew that, so, you know.
We all knew that.
Let's not get into that again. Let's not derail this thing.
No, it's
with all of us.
No, it's fine. Yeah, it happens. It's over with. I said my piece. The only thing I'll add to that is everyone at Billboard needs to be fired. Just get rid of Billboard altogether.
Yeah, just
because nobody cares. Nobody cares. It's fine. Yeah, but that said, that list was shit. Anywho, I reiterate everything Corey and Kevin said. Fun fact: this is my favorite track on Van Halen 2.
Oh, nice.
That's not to say that I think all the others are subpar. No, I have talked about this. Corey knows this. I love this album. You are going to be remiss to have me say anything remotely bad about Van Halen 2. I really love it. It's an interesting quandary that Kev put. Is maybe the quality a little bit better than Van Halen 1? Did it go up a little bit? I don't know, but I listened to this this track now with that mindset, and I go, probably so. Everything about this works, just from a production standpoint alone. Just production alone, everything is clean, everything is precise, clear. I mean, it's just the only thing I might argue for is turn it up louder, because this is a song that deserves to be played as loud as humanly possible. I personally think this song should be in the upper echelon of the Van Halen's repertoire, but I understand why it's maybe not. No matter, it's still a very cooking track. Everybody is being utilized really to their full extent. You could probably throw in some extra harmonies in there somewhere, just, you know, to make my nerd heart happy. But nevertheless, love the song. I love it more and more each time I hear it. No exception to the rule this time. So yes, What Dreams Are Made Of, full sweep. And if you are not down with that, then I don't know what to tell you. Tom says, whatever the hell the monkey and the moonbeam line means from Everybody Wants Some. Thank you, Tom.
Yeah. Well, the monkey and the moonbeam is a literary reference from a book by Jonathan Smith. So, quite smart.
Oh,
actually.
Corey's a scholar. Okay. All right. He knows books.
What you need to do is take lots and lots and lots and lots of cocaine, and it all makes sense.
Exactly.
I mean, you got to get on Dave's level. So, that's the key, kids. Don't do hard drugs. But if you want to be on David Lee Roth's level from this era, a lot of the white powder. There you go.
Do all the drugs. They were doing all the drugs at this time.
Where was this sequenced, Corey, on Van Halen 2? What is it?
This kicked off side B.
Oh, yeah. Fuck. There you go. What an opener. What a side two opener.
My thing is, like, how are you going to follow that? That's the only problem I would have.
Just follow like, it.
Spanish Fly. They go into Spanish Fly. Nice. And then DOA. Like it's perfect. You can't sequence it any better.
Yeah, I mean it's the best for it. But honestly, like if you were just in the mood to just listen to Van Halen and bang your head constantly, then Light Up the Sky happens and it ends. You go like, well, now fucking what? But yeah, that's still as far as the flow goes. That's a really good transition. I like that. Jeff says, when it's love, sounds like a really beautiful Journey-like tune, and then Sam comes in and yells, ha! But yeah, that's great, because he does it on
Jeff's
the
on
perfect
my side
note. It's like, ugh, fuck off, everybody. Anyway, I can't wait to get to that song. It's going to be great.
It's me and you against the world, Mark. It's me and you against the world, my friend.
Us against the world. That's fine with that. And speaking of against the world, it's time for Corey's favorite part of the show where I look like a buffoon. Go ahead, Corey. Hit the music.
Oh, I get to play the song.
Yeah.
That's right. It's time to play. How many times did Van Halen perform Light Up the Sky? Mark Kamire, let's start with you because you claim to never win. How many times do you think Van Halen performed this track?
Personally, I feel like they should have put this on the set for every single tour they ever did. Like, should have been
400 or 500 times, right? Yeah,
should have been. But I'm going to venture a guess and say it wasn't. So let's say I'm going to say they did about 150 times.
150 times. All right. How about you, Mr. Kevin Brown?
Yeah, I was kind of going the same sort of region. I think. Because here's what I would say is I think they probably played this almost all the time on the tour for this album, and I'll bet they played it lots on the tour for Fair Warning because you're still building up that catalogue, and at that point you've probably got about 27 or so songs. This is definitely one of the stronger ones out of that set. Mm-hmm. Then I think maybe after that it would start to fall off. So you said 150?
Yeah.
Well, I've just got to decide either way. This is game theory now. I'm going to go either. I'll go 151.
Fuck you.
It
okay,
worked.
No, screw that then. Okay, what else?
Nope.
Say then?
No, that's fine. No,
you won, Kevin.
No, you won.
The correct answer is 181 times.
Oh, oh wow. Oh, man.
I'm sorry, Mark. I should have.
No, it's cool. I don't win. That's what the game is. Like, I don't win.
To Mark Kamire, we say...
Well, at least I wasn't as far off as I normally, typically am. You know, like 150. Like, would you say it was 181 times? They
181.
Played this?
Yeah.
So you know, I was only 31 off. It's fine,
dude. If I'd gone first, genuinely, I was saying 150, 100%. That's exactly what I was going to say.
And then I would have said 151.
and both of your reasoning was 100% correct. They played it 98 times in 1979. Yeah. They played it another 42 times in 1980. Then they didn't play it again until 2015.
Oh, wow. Ooh. Well, at least they busted it out. Oh, God, I'd be very curious to hear how it sounded in 2015.
I wouldn't. Not vocally, anyway.
I mean, I know, but I'm a sadist sometimes, and I'm just like, it's like, yeah, what you got, Dave? You still got it? Probably not. Let me hear it. That's just the way it goes.
Would
but
be
hey,
cool,
look.
Though, hearing Wolf play this would be kind of cool. Is it on that live?
Yeah.
Is it on that live album, Corey?
I would imagine so.
I'm looking right now, and no, I don't see it.
Oh,
on,
no?
On Tokyo, don't know, because that would have been... it came out in 2015, but it was recorded in 2013. So, no. I could try and find a YouTube version of it here.
There might be one.
Yeah, and the if you quality can, like, might we were be talking shit. About that, I'm really curious how they come out of that transition, because that's the thing with, you know, I've talked about this on my Queen podcast, and talking with other musicians about this, and Mark, as a musician yourself, you know that when you go into studio and you write a song and you record it and that's the song, when you get out then and play live, it grows and it evolves and it changes.
Yeah.
And so I'm always kind of interested to see what people add in and how they change transition, especially transitions, just to get out of different sections because, you know, oh, here we go. All right.
It's fan recorded from Third Row, so I don't know how great this is going to be, but this is from July 11th, 2015 in San Bernardino.
Thank you.
wonder if this was a Wolfie request, because he had a lot of sway on the set list in 2015.
Probably. Because he gets to do it.
That drop D tuning that he's playing too, because that bottom note, that jugga jugga, it's got a, that's really deep. I wonder if that's drop D tuned.
Well, it's not in the key of D, I can tell you that.
No.
I'm trying to, the next time I see Eddie play, let me...
Yeah, Jeff says it's so sad he's not here to see anymore. I know, like that smile is just the best thing in rock and roll.
No, I think he's in standard. Now it might be okay. He might be in D standard though, but no, that's
that bottom
E
string sounds so fat to me. You know, I don't know. Yeah, I'm not a guitarist.
That just might be like his guitar tone, just in the guitar itself. With like his, he's got, you know, custom pickups on that thing. So there's just no
tone. Get it off, Dave.
What in the
Dave's having a good time.
Is that a bowler tie? Has he got a bowler tie on? Woofy with the buzzed head.
Yeah. Fuck that stack behind him, eh?
Jeff agrees, Mark, not drop D.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
Motherfucker. Shut up, Dave.
Shut up, Dave. With your banana shirt. Half step down is what Jeff says. I agree. That's what it kind of sounds like. So fair enough. So E flat. I tell you, look, it's kind of a blessing and a curse that I never got to see Van Halen live, because if I had, I have a feeling after witnessing Eddie all night, I might have gone home and sold my guitars. I'm just like, nope, not doing this
anymore. You're not
anymore.
The only one.
Can't.
You hear that
can't
a lot.
Do it. Yeah. Just, you know, like, it'll never get better than that. It'll never get as good as that. It'll never happen, you know?
Okay, I'm going to give up drums for the same reason, because I watch Alex Van Halen, so.
I think the difference with the Van Halen, because I did see them live once, and it was with Sam on the, was it Best of Both Worlds tour, whatever the hell that was called. The thing that when you go see Van Halen live, the only thing you leave with is a sense of absolute joy of music. Fall in love with music all over again, because you see four people on stage, and even if they're having problems off stage, they just fucking love playing music. And they do it really, really well, high tempo, and they play for the fucking crowd, and they give it everything they got, and it just leaves you feeling fulfilled. It's amazing. Mm-hmm. Just absolutely amazing.
I would hope so. I would hope that would be the feeling. I mean, honestly, I probably would feel that way, but then there would just be that lingering sort of just like screaming into the void voice of just like, quit playing guitar. You're never going to be that good. It's like, I know. Stop it. Stop yelling
Remember,
at me.
Remember, you don't have to be as good as Eddie Van Halen. You only have to be as good as Mark Kammeyer.
There you go.
Aw, that's okay. Yeah.
You feel better?
Fine, Kevin.
Therapy hour with Kevin Brown.
Didn't come here for a therapy session. But he's right.
Because,
Kevin's right.
Because you're good enough, you're smart enough, and doggone it, people like me.
Yes. I don't have to play like Eddie Van Halen. No, Josh is right, though. Josh said Eddie's completely relaxed in that live show, just not sweating. He would be sweating bullets trying to pull all those notes off in front of that crowd. But I will say this, Josh. At the same time, look how long Eddie has been playing, or he had been playing that song. And also, he wrote it. So, I mean, like, it's
Tom
all
said
there.
The same thing.
Yeah, just play any song for that long, and you're going to be able to play it with your eyes closed and probably upside down if you want. So
think of it that way. Here's the thing, because they didn't play this live. We already established that. This was kind of, this brought this song back, and I was going to comment on that, because when you watch him playing the riff, he's looking down at the fretboard.
Oh, sure.
Whereas when you watch footage from, like, you know, Live Without a Net or stuff online, when it's stuff he has been playing lots, he's not looking at the fretboard. He just knows that shit. That's muscle memory. When he gets to the solo, then it's where he doesn't have to bother then. Then it's all about feel and intuition and just being Eddie, right? So,
yeah. Sure.
It was 35 years in between concerts for that song.
That's a good point. Yeah. So, but nevertheless, yeah, like that muscle memory is a funny thing sometimes. So you'd be amazed what your body can remember in just like the heat of the moment. And at this point, I'm not sure how far into that particular tour they were, but they played it how many times, you said, in like around that time?
In 2015, they played it 41 times. So it was a mainstay.
So, let's just say for argument's sake, this was like in the middle of the tour. So he had already been playing it quite a few dates. It was like, oh, okay. Yeah, I remember. I got it. Cool. So think of it that way. Nevertheless. But there you go, you guys. Light Up the Sky. You kind of got a twofer with that one of the same song, both
I love how
and
Tom,
live.
Tom pointed out we were supposed to be assessing Dave's vocal. We talked more about Eddie's playing. No complaints.
It'd be like that sometimes.
Yeah. The Eddie Van Halen motto, shut up, Dave. Dave was a complete clown by then, even more than when he could hit notes. Exactly,
I mean,
and he just put out another Twitter fucking video today where he's just a complete clown.
Oh,
it's
God.
Like, what are you doing,
I
buddy?
I get,
and then Josh says he's going to upload.
You know what he's doing.
Josh is going to upload his version in 2040, so he gets the same amount of time in between.
Looking forward to it. That'll be great. Yeah.
Oh, Tom says he didn't have to go back to the records. He said he listened and not remember how to play it. So, yeah. Well, 35 years is a long time.
Well, I mean, yeah, that's a long time. And you gotta rehearse. And sometimes if you forget shit, like, all right, let me throw on the record real quick. Jeff said he probably forgot how to play it and probably had to relearn it. And, you know, that happens.
That happens, absolutely.
I'll just quickly... That's definitely a thing, because when you get to this level and this amount of time under the water under the bridge, where they've written so many songs and so many riffs... You can't possibly hold them all in your head. There's a great thing about in the Tom Petty thing, the podcast that I do, where someone was talking about a song, Mary's New Car is the song, and it's not a great song, but there was one of the wardrobe ladies who fucking loved the song, and so she'd always like shout it from the side of the stage, from the wing, saying, play Mary's last, play New Car, da, da, da. And Tom said, I just love that she thinks that we know that song, that we would remember it. Because it was like, I don't know that song anymore. I might as well be doing a cover at this point, you know?
She's like, lady, that was like 1,000 joints ago. Like,
exactly.
Even, you know.
Is that one of ours? Is that a Dylan song? Like,
who does that
song? Sure we wrote that? Did we write? Yeah, it's like, that might have been Bobby. I don't know. I love that. Yeah, just the truth and like... I love that you think we know it. We'll try. Just such honest authenticity to that. So, but there you go, you guys. One more off of Van Halen 2. So I think we still got a couple from that album. We're not done with that one. And now we are down to, 29 songs?
29
songs left on the wheel, you guys. We're coming down to it. So, but before we do that, we have to do something really awesome, which is talk about the first full album that we have discussed on the show. So, as Corey mentioned at the top of the show, live show tomorrow night. If you're listening to this podcast on Friday, Saturday, that'll be August 6th, that's right, August 26th, Saturday, 9 p.m. Eastern. We're going live. We're doing it live. The usual suspects, some not usual suspects, just come one, come all, and we'll have a discussion on Fair Warning, because that is the first album we have completed in this Van Halen journey. So big thank you, big shout out to our lurkers in the chat. Thank you guys so much. And if you too want to be a lurker, you know what you got to do? You got to join our Patreon. We have all sorts of tiers that we can that might be to your liking. But if we don't, if there's a tier that we don't have and you think it would be a good idea for us to, let us know. We'll get that for you. It's all good. Corey and I are not above it. So just to throw out to our patrons, I will list them off right now. Matt Lacoste, Nate from the Deep Purple Podcast, Rava Flave, Josh Caldwell, Greg Zito, Michael Griffith, Chaz Charles, a.k.a. Chaz Mataz, a.k.a. Chart Chaz, Sean McGinnity from Meet the Geeks, Per Lineker, Scott Monroe, Ryan Powell, Jeff Brewer, Ben Andreozzi, Tom Armbruster, Scott Everett, Heath McCoy, Janice Risco, and of course, our honored guest and honoree panelist, Kevin Brown. Kevin, always a pleasure having you. It's great. I'm so happy Corey got you last minute. Would you please let the people know where they can find you and everything you're doing? Because if Corey Morissette is the podcasting Galactus devouring worlds, you are certainly his Silver Surfer Herald. So tell them all the podcasts, all the stuff they can find you doing.
Oh, I don't know my Marvel DCU kind of stuff. I don't know that. I don't know if Silver Surfer is that good. Is that good or is that an insult or a compliment? I don't know.
It's fine.
You can find me at the Tom Petty Project and Seaside Pod Review. But I just wanted to end Ultimate Catalog Clash with Corey, our new show. But I did want to just, again, shout out, you know, folks, support these people. Because this, you know, Corey, you always say that Pod of Thunder is the gold standard in rock and roll podcasting excellence. This show's overtaking it. Okay? You know, aww, with David Lee Roth era Van Halen was great. Sammy Hagar era just took it to that next level, people. So join the Patreon. It doesn't cost much. You know, you can afford a few shekels. It's a 4-pack of beer, less than that, a month. Just give them some money and help support these guys. They're doing good things, and they're really good people.
Well, thank you so much. And hey, if you don't want to throw the stones to support the Patreon, you can still support us by sharing the podcast, telling your friends. You know, if your friends are Van Halen fans, let them know what we got going on. And hey, we've got merch as well. So this is not our merch. This is just a Van Halen shirt that I'm wearing. But we do have merch. So podcastwillrock.com. Go check out our merch store. As a matter of fact, most of those designs designed by this guy, Kevin Brown, because he loves a good inside joke, and we do too. And boy, the merch store is full of them. And if you get those the merch with the inside jokes, you will be in the know. And then people will be on the street going like, what the hell is that about? And you go, you gotta listen to the show, and you'll know. Right. And then we'll all be united in the front. So there you go. Buy a T-shirt or something if you want. Corey, where can the people find all the stuff you're doing and all the podcasts you're devouring like Galactus?
Well, you can find us at www.podcastforrock.com. You can get said merch. You can catch up on old shows. You can also find us as part of the Deep Dive Podcast Network, which features such shows as Backtracks Aerosmith Revisited with myself and Scott Haskin, Backtracks the Music, talking music and movies with my good buddy John Mariano. Kevin and myself do a show called The Ultimate Catalog Clash. Season 1 is Phil Collins era Genesis. Having a ton of fun with that one. You can also catch Kevin at the Tom Petty Project and Seaside Pod Review with the one and only Kevin Woods. You can also catch Scott Haskin at Uriah Heep, The Magician's Podcast. Nate and John at the Deep Purple Podcast. The Simple Man at Skinner Reconsidered. Terry T-Bone and Mathley at T-Bone's Prime Cuts on the Other Side. Rye at Sabbath Bloody Podcast. Paul, Joan, David at In the Lap of the Pods. Andy and Matt at Hawk Binge, Eric and Jonathan at Maiden A to Z, Daniel and Josh at Diary of the Madmen, the Ultimate Aussie Podcast, Ben and Sam at Universally Speaking, the Red Hot Chili Peppers Podcast, George and Hattie at the Judas Priest Cast, Clay and Rye at North by South Podcast, Greg and Jonathan at So Far, So Pod, So What, talking all things Megadeth, Quinnet and Volume for All, Sav, Nick, Steve and Mark at the Rock Roulette Podcast, and Chaz and Greg at Regarding Lulu, and rumor has it Chaz is starting a Rush podcast. Be on the lookout for that. You can also check out our good buddy Sean Geek at the Sean Geek and Fast Fret Podcast, You're All Doomed, a Friday the 13th podcast, the DLR Cast, the Bogus Loda Show, Pod of Thunder, the recognized symbol of excellence in rock and roll podcasting, Booked on Rock with the legendary Eric Senich, Dissect That Film, and Three's Company 2, a rewatch podcast.
There you go. Right on. You can find me at Mark the Bat on Twitter and Instagram. And, you know, I know that the Twitter of our show is kind of, it's active, but it's less active than when Corey was running it. That's because I'm running it, and sometimes I'm just lazy, or I'm using my other Twitter yelling about stupid politicians and bullshit. But nevertheless, yeah, I'll get better. I'll get better about it. But you can find me at Mark the Bat, so you can come to me directly for all of your concerns and aggravations about how I'm doing a terrible job at this podcast, because people love telling me how wrong I am. And that's fine, because you know why? I am not a music historian. I'm not a rock historian. I'm not a Van Halen expert at all. Neither is Corey, neither is Kevin, or anybody. We are just humble fans just exploring a band that we like, and that's all there is to it. So no, we're not going to have all the accurate information about what they were doing in the studio, where their brains were when they were writing particular songs, because we weren't there. We can only speculate, and we can only discuss what we've read and what we've heard from the people who actually were there. So if you need expertise advice, go to Eric Sinich, go to Greg Renoff, go to those people, okay? You can voice your concerns. But if you want to keep yelling at me, fine. But it only makes me stronger. It's fuel to the fire. You don't understand how powerful I'm becoming, you guys. And soon I will go to Elon Musk himself, strangle him, and then I will be X. This is the face of X. You hear that? And I'm going to rebrand it to just M. It will be M. It will no longer be Twitter. It will be M. So be on the lookout for that. I'm coming for you, Musk. I'm going to punch you in your turkey neck just for fun. But anyway, if we get cut off of Twitter, or if our page gets put down, now you know why, because Mark's running his mouth. It happens. But I don't apologize for it, nor do I apologize for bringing you guys a rocking good podcast that I'm proud of and I'm happy to do with fine gentlemen like my panelists today. We are, and the podcast will rock, and we will rock you later.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.